I'm David Poyser, a journalist. Welcome to the 20th episode of PezPod, the insider's guide to the European Public Employment Services Network, or PES. Today I'm speaking with a very experienced PES leader and changemaker, Spyros Protopsaltis, who is chairman of the board of directors of DEPA, that's the Greek Public Employment Service. And he recently served as first vice chair of the PES network. Spyros also serves as national coordinator for the European Year of Skills, which runs through May 2024. We're talking to him today to learn more about challenges the Greek PES is facing, challenges when it comes to skills, the future of training centres and programmes, and his aspirations for the Greek PES. So let's get started. Hey, Spyros.
Hi, everyone. Hi, David.
Hi. Welcome back. It's great to hear your voice again. I want to jump in straight away now and talk about what you think this year will look like. What do you think lies ahead in the new year in 2024? Will it bring new challenges and opportunities? Are you forecasting any new trends you think this year will bring?
Most likely, I think 24 is going to be a lot like 23. I don't see any major changes. I just think that the things we've been struggling with in the post-pandemic world are going to continue dominating the policy agenda. And from speaking with colleagues across Europe, I think that skills is definitely going to be an issue that's not going to go away. It's going to remain on the agenda, and it's going to remain high on the agenda, because it's a complex issue and one that has roots in some long-standing mismatches that have been occurring. And now we've seen the culmination of these mismatches sort of really at a grand scale, as I said, in the post-pandemic world. So the fact that 2023 was the European Year of Skills doesn't mean that 2024 is not going to be a year that's going to be about skills, especially as it relates to the PES world. I think that we're going to have more conversations on how Europe can tackle the severe shortages that we have in a number of occupations. I think we're going to continue struggling on how to better serve those who face the highest barriers to entry when it comes to the labor market. I think that that's becoming something increasingly important for many of the PES due to the tightening of the labor markets and the labor shortages. And I think we're going to see a continuation of PES trying to wrap their heads around AI and what that means for them, for policy, for services, et cetera, et cetera. So if I had to say what 24 is going to be, I think it's going to be a lot like 23. I know that doesn't sound exciting, but I think it's where we're headed.
Thanks. So I just wanted to continue about the skills, if that's all right, Spyros. You have a special role as the National Coordinator for the European Year of Skills, all to say that you're quite an active PES network member. What have been some of the priorities this year on aligning the PES network agenda with the European Year of Skills?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, even in a country with the second highest unemployment rate in Europe, such as Greece, and in Spain, that has the highest unemployment rate, and at the same time countries with some of the lowest rates like Germany and Holland, etc., you see that we are all struggling with this issue of skills. I'm very pleased that it became an emphasis for Europe. I think it was long overdue, because it's these structural changes that are happening around us at a pace that we've never seen before. I mean, the technology and the changes that are happening are just so fast moving that I think the PES are simply not prepared not only to predict them, but to actually adapt fast enough to what needs to be changed. And we had this conference recently in Barcelona that Spain organized as part of its presidency. And I would say 80% of the conversation was around skills. And what I mentioned in my comments is the following. We all need to change, and that includes the PES. You can't have everything changing in the labor market and in the economy, and for us to continue doing business as usual. We need to become much more nimble, much more agile, much better at forecasting. We need to come closer to putting our finger on what is happening in the real economy and the changes that are taking place. And that requires intelligence at multiple levels, not only better, bigger databases and better data analytics and big data and sort of the quantitative side of things. We also need a lot of qualitative intelligence as to what's happening in the labor market. I'll just give you, a very small example. We have one of the biggest development projects in Europe happening right now. It's called the Athenian Riviera. The old airport is being turned into a huge development, thousands of jobs, very exciting, very large investment. All the emphasis and the focus was on how to secure the financing of the development, how to make the numbers add up, how to find the right investor, how to put all the numbers in place. The workforce component was an afterthought, unfortunately. Who's going to build this development? Do we have the skilled labor to actually do the construction that this new development is going to require? And right now, when everything is in place, the financing is in place, the machines are ready to go, everything is in order, we are finding out that some of the occupations and some of the skilled labor that's necessary for this project is very, very hard to find. And so one of the things that this skills agenda has forced on the table is that workforce development and the workforce component should not be an afterthought of economic development. It's part and parcel of economic development. So whenever you're talking about investments, about economic growth, about big projects, et cetera, from attracting foreign investment, all of these things that governments constantly struggle with, you cannot leave the labor piece to come afterwards. It needs to be part of the conversation from the beginning. So that is one of the big things that I think has been, a good development and a progress because of the conversation on skills. The second thing, and this is true in Greece and in other places, is that it has reached the highest levels of government. Our prime minister is speaking about skills all the time. That wasn't the case 4 or 5 years ago. You hear European leaders talk about skills all the time, business leaders. So it has actually really dominated the agenda and has taken a permanent place, I think, on the agenda, the political agenda and the economic agenda of both member states and the European Union. And that's a very good thing because there are no easy solutions and easy answers to this problem. And as I said, it's here to stay. So we need to definitely invest in this. And then at the more micro level, just to take it even further to the ground, This has meant for ARPES that suddenly, internally in the organization, the whole piece that deals with skills has become much more important, and we're paying much more attention to it and investing more resources in it. So we run 50 vocational schools, 30 post-secondary education centers. We use the German apprenticeship model where students work in companies during the day and go to class in the afternoon. And we've really invested significant recovery and resilience facility funding into modernizing, improving, and changing the infrastructure of that whole apparatus in order to make the necessary progress there. And at the same time, we've run the largest ever upskilling, reskilling program that has ever taken place in this country, again with recovery funding. In 1 year, 220,000 unemployed and employed persons have been trained and certified in digital or green skills. It's a massive program funded with €1 billion from the recovery, and it has really become our flagship initiative during this past year, and the one for which we're actually really proud because we were able to run it in record time and with record numbers, and just we had a lot of good success with it. So all in all, that is to say that at all levels, the highest, the European, the nation state, and the PES level, in all three levels, we see that the European Year of Skills has had a very, very important effect in making sure that we put the emphasis where it needs to be when it comes to tackling the labor shortages.
So, I mean, just to continue that on the local level in Greece, what does that mean for the Greek PES? What kind of lessons do you think can be taken away from the European Year of Skills?
Well, first of all, it works tremendously well on the awareness level. I've been on TV, radio, we've had events, we've educated people, we've done information campaigns around vocational education, around the options that youth have, about the opportunities that exist for upskilling and reskilling. And it has elevated the issue in society. I think that that's an important outcome of this effort, just raising awareness and making more information available to both policymakers as well as the public and economic actors, et cetera, et cetera. The second thing that I think has been really helpful to us so far has been that we have the resources to make stuff happen. I mean, let's be honest, if it wasn't for the ESF and the recovery facility, we wouldn't have this massive amount of resources available to do new and interesting things. Nothing is free, so you can't do a lot of things that don't cost. Information awareness is one part, but actually running programs, educating people, giving them the skills that they need, that takes money. And I have to say, as a head of PES, there's no shortage of money when it comes to European funds for upskilling, reskilling, and investing in skills. This is a very, very good time. If you have ideas and you have proposals and things that you want to do, this is definitely a good time for those to be funded. And so at our level, we've really been empowered by the political cover and the political support for investing in skills, coupled with the resources. And then what we really like with the recovery facility is that it forces you to do reforms. Unlike ESF, it requires you proposals of expenditures to be coupled with reforms. And that gave us the opportunity here in Greece to move forward with one of the biggest reforms that has ever taken place historically when it comes to the upskilling, reskilling landscape. It's Law 4921 of 2022, where for the first time we established an accountability system for training providers. We created the National Registry of Training Providers that has outcome targets and outputs that you have to meet in order to maintain eligibility. We tied payment to results. We created increased quality control standards, both on the input side as well as the output side, and generally tried to raise the bar of quality when it comes to training. Because for many, many years, Greece spent hundreds of millions of euros, but didn't have much to show for it. We were dead last in the European Skills of Index when it comes to skills matching. And one wonders, with so many resources that have been spent in the past, why are we last? And the answer is because they were spent inefficiently and ineffectively. They were spent in a way that did not really have the intended impact. So what we try to do now with the recovery is to say, not only are we going to invest unprecedented funds in upskilling, reskilling, but in order to avoid the mistakes of the past, that's going to be coupled with a reform that's going to safeguard the investment, safeguard taxpayer funds, make sure that the programs actually have the intended impact, and for the first time, measure outcomes and hold people accountable for those outcomes. Where the initial stages of the implementation of the reform were generally encouraged by the first signs that we see. We understand that the market has received the message that things are going to change and it's not going to be business as usual. But we do have a long ways to go. We're still in the first steps of this reform effort. But to us, as a PES, raising this on the agenda, getting the bill through the parliament, and making such big changes would not have been possible if we didn't have the carrot called the recovery facility funding. You can't, you know, usually with a stick, you need a carrot. So here, the recovery gave us both. It gave us the impetus for a reform and the funds to do big things and to do big things fast. Now, that's one comment that I want to make on this. The problem we are facing is so big that we cannot be marginal when it comes to tackling the skills problem. We have to move fast and we have to be big. Little programs with 50 participants, 500 participants, 1,000 participants won't cut it. Here we need large-scale initiatives that are going to impact huge chunks of the population. When Europe sets a goal that by 2030, 60% of the adult population will participate at least once a year in upskilling, reskilling, in order for us to meet that goal, we need massive programs. We need big initiatives. So therein lies the challenge that usually you do high quality things in a small scale or lower quality things at a grand scale. Here we're trying to solve the equation how to do big things in the same time ensure quality and fast implementation.
Well, well done you and well done the European Union for funding it. Well, as we know, look, we've had one crisis to the next in the last few years. You've said a lot about this already, but what would you say are the challenges the Greek labour market's facing these days? How are you, the Greek PES, trying to address these challenges in your various roles?
When we took over in July of 2019, unemployment was at 17.6%. Today, unemployment is at 10%. That's a 43% drop in 4 years. It's the biggest drop in Europe. Greece is no longer the highest unemployment rate. It's the second highest, which is something. We still have a long ways to go, though, to meet the EU average of 6.5%. The government has set two ambitious goals: drop under 10% within 2024 and reach 8% by 2027. I'm optimistic and I think we're going to meet those goals. But what that requires is what's the most difficult thing for policy to change, which is attitudes. We moved after a decade of crisis in Greece from an employer's market to a worker's market. It went from I can't find work to I can't find workers. This happened literally within just a few years. So despite the fact that we have a high unemployment rate of 10%, the biggest problem facing businesses in Greece right now is that they can't find the right workers for the open positions that they have. Why is that? Simply, one of the big reasons, and this is the biggest challenge, which is why I'm answering your question this way, is that the skills that the employers seek are not the skills that the unemployed have. And this is the result of decades of the Greek training and education system being completely disconnected from the needs of the economy. To put it simply, we overproduce graduates in occupations with low or declining demand, and we underproduce graduates in occupations with high or growing demand. Until we solve this problem, we're going to continue having these difficulties in the labor market, which is why the government has made vocational education and upskilling, reskilling of the workers a top priority, because it's the only way that we can solve this problem. In Greek society, for many, many years, the idea was that everybody has to go to a university. That has led to a severe shortage in occupations such as electricians, plumbers, welders, and things of that sort. Unlike other countries where those occupations were viewed as respectable, et cetera, and a very good option for people, our participation in VET in Greece is very, very low, and usually families don't opt for it. Well, if we educated Greek families about the salaries that the electricians and the plumbers make versus the unemployed French literature graduate, then maybe there would be more people opting for VET and fewer people opting for college education that leads to unemployment. So, biggest challenge by far for us remains this issue of the skills mismatch in the labor market and the need to finally make an attitude change towards vocational education and training.
Yes, brilliant. Thanks so much and well done all the changes you're making. What do you see as the top three challenges for the Greek PES in the next decades when it comes to skills? How's the Greek PES meeting these challenges?
Well, I think part of it is that digitization needs to be completed so that the PES itself can reach more people more easily through digital tools. The second major challenge for us is going to be our own worker population. We have a lot of retirements coming up, and unfortunately, hiring in the public sector in Greece is under a variety of restrictions. And so I'm worried about our own human capital. And then the third big challenge is, and this is obviously something the PES face all the time, is how to deal with unpredictable external shocks, how to deal with crisis situations that are very, very difficult to predict and things that you can't easily control. We saw that in the pandemic, that our organizations are not well equipped in dealing with unexpected external shocks. That's something that we need to work on more internally as to be better at adapting to changes that are coming fast, but we can't really predict or control. So all in all, I think that building a culture of continuous improvement and constantly striving for, you know, becoming better and better remains the prescription that we need to follow here, because that's the only way that organizations can become viable and sustainable against all of these changes that are coming our way.
Brilliant. Thank you. I think you'll find a lot of support for that in Brussels. If you could change one thing, Spiros, what would it be and why?
If I could change one thing, I do think, you know, equal opportunities and pathways to equal opportunities is something that I would like to see much more. I mean, we see way too many people have restricted options when it comes to what they can do and what paths they can pursue. And I think it's a constant daily struggle for us to try to expand those options for all people so they can have more access and more mobility and more opportunities. So if there was one thing I would like to change, is to provide more opportunity.
Thanks so much. I could talk to you forever. I'm afraid it's all we've got time for today.
Nobody would listen to us, but yeah, we could talk for
a lot of people are listening to PESPOD. So thanks for offering your insights and telling us your story and inviting us to learn about what's to come for the Greek Pest and also for this year, the European Year of Skills.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And thanks for doing this. As you said, I think a lot of people enjoy it. And it's a good way of connecting. So thanks a lot for the invitation once again.
Thank you. We'd like to remind everyone listening that the PES Network Knowledge Centre contains many useful resources and publications, including a new PES Network opinion paper that contributed to the European Year of Skills debate. We also invite you to learn more about the European Year of Skills itself on the website, year-of-skills.europa.eu. Please find the link to the Skills opinion paper and the European Year of Skills in the show notes. Thanks to everyone at the PES Network for contributing your expertise to enable us to make this podcast happen. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email at empl-pes-secretariat@ec.europa.eu. PES Pod was produced by the European Commission with technical support from ICF. Thanks all for listening. This is David Poyser signing off until the next PES Pod.